morning. My name is Jenny, and I have the privilege of reading God's word for us this morning before Stu comes and speaks to us. There's actually two readings this morning, as on the screen. The first is from Psalm 96, or is Psalm 96, and if you've got one of the Bibles out the front, you brought that with you, or even your own, you'll find it about midway through. And then the second reading will be from the New Testament, the second half of the Bible. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. He cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that's in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. The second reading from 1 Thessalonians, it's the second half of verse 9 in chapter 1. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
Well, I'm in the market for a new phone and I wish the right phone for me would just stand up. You know what I mean? Give me a vision. Skywriting, carrier pigeon, I really don't care. I just want to be liberated from the choice to make. Do I get a refurbished phone? While I'm at Woolworths buying milk, do I buy one for $200 on the way out? Heaven forbid I raise the question of whether to use an iPhone or an Android. I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid to pick that fight today. Just out of curiosity for research purposes for me, I was wondering if you felt comfortable if you could raise your hand if you use an iPhone. Okay, thank you. Could you raise your hand if you use Android? Wow. Thank you. Your appreciation is much appreciated. Well, good morning. My name is Stu. I'm currently Which Phone to Get Weary Soul Person. I've been a pastor here in Lismore for the past 15 years, and I find each year I fall more and more in love with our city of Lismore, or better still, love more. Today, I'm not going to bore you with which phone I should get. I know you don't really care. You only really care whether I get an iPhone or Android. But I do want to give you today some food for thought. For I want to get us thinking about whether the God of this world would stand up in your life. That he would prove himself to you today. That he is worthy of your worship. That's what I'll be striving to do over the next 15 minutes or so with one sentence from the Bible. Now, before we look at the Bible, I get that you might say, look, I'm not the religious type. And can I say I actually believe you? And I very much get what you might mean. For me, I went to a religious school in Queensland. And confession time, this pastor, when I was 16, got sent out of religious studies. The teacher said I was being a distraction to the other students. I was distracted because I was bored witless. All this talk about Moses, Elijah, God, the Bible, it seemed totally and completely irrelevant to my life. Yet I reckon today, while we might agree that you may not feel religious, we actually do worship stuff. It just depends what your life will worship. Because have a listen to the American social commentator David Foster Wallace, who said, there is no such thing as not worshipping. Everyone worships. The choice we get is what to worship. Now, if my day job for the past 15 years wasn't as a pastor, I'm pretty confident I could agree. Because for the first 16 years of my life, I worshipped sport. For me, the only way I got through school on Tuesday was because I had sports training in the afternoon. My mother was a Christian woman and she blocked me from playing representative sport because it was on a Sunday and I hated her for it. When I was 12, she would try to take me to a Christian church and I would hide so that she couldn't find me because I wanted to watch my beloved Sports World with Bruce McAvaney on Channel 7 at 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. By the time I was 15, she gave up because I was now playing sport across southeast Queensland on Sundays. The only prayer I prayed as a teenager was that I would make a representative level in sport. And probably one of the highlights of my whole schooling career was when I was in high school in an assembly of 700 teenagers, my name was read out because I made 76 not out in cricket against St. Joseph's Toowoomba. And as my name was read out, I had thought I'd reached nirvana. It was heaven on earth. I lived for, I worshipped sport. That is my personal testimony. What would your life show? What do you worship? Now, worship can be defined as the attributing of ultimate worth to something. The Oxford Dictionary defines it a few ways, one in relation to God, but another way it says this: it's a strong feeling of love and respect for somebody or something. So today it could be fair to say, what do you really worship? Or simply, what do you love? Hopefully you're beginning to see David Foster Wallace's comment 2 minutes ago that I read is more relevant to your life than you may have first thought. Do you remember what it said? There is no such thing as not worshiping. Everyone worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. But his quote didn't stop there. It comes from a speech he was presenting to university students as they were graduating and embarking on their careers and adult life. If you don't mind, I'd be interested in reading the next portion of the speech, which goes like this. He says, if you worship money, if that is where you tap real meaning in life, you will never have enough. Never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body and beauty and sexual allure, and you'll always feel ugly. And when time and aging start to show, you will die a million deaths before they finally plant you. He says, worship power, you'll feel weak and afraid. And you will need even more power over others to keep the fear at bay. Worship your intellect, being seen as smart, you'll end up feeling stupid. You'll feel like a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. I don't know about you, but I find it provocative, perceptive, and a little bit too close to home for me, because I feel I've worshipped all those things in my life. So now I'd like to take you to some people from the past who lived in a modern-day Greek city called Thessalonica, and how they came to see that the true and living God of this world was more worthy of their love than money, beauty, power, and the intellect. for their whole life was about to take a complete U-turn. I know you understand the U-turn. You know, if you're driving, so a main road that runs from the top of Lismore or Ganalaba all the way down into South Lismore is called Ballina Road. So if you were heading down Ballina Road, you were heading sort of for Kyogle. But if you do a U-turn, you were now heading for Ballina. Okay, another quick community poll. If you had a long weekend, King's Birthday long weekend, or on the Monday of the King's Birthday, and you were heading down Ballina Road, would you want to go west to Kyogle, to the bush, or do you want to go east to Ballina for a day at the beach? Okay, so first one, we're going to do 3 seconds. We're going to vote for if you want to go to the bush, and then the next one will be for the beach. So 3, 2, 1, if you want to go to the bush, raise your hand. Okay, if you want to go to the beach, raise your hand. Oh my gosh, it's a splitter again, I feel like. But say for instance, we thought we were going to go to Kyogle, we were going to go to the Border Ranges National Park, you throw a Yui, and next minute you're heading for the beach, you're heading for Ballina. And that is what we hear from the Bible to these Christian people in modern day Greece. The author of the letter, Paul the Apostle, says, your life was heading one way. You were worshipping something, and now you've done a complete U-turn and you're going the opposite direction. Because did you pick that idea up when we read from the Bible, when Jen read that for us? Let me reread the sentence. It explains it in verse 9. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the true and living God. And this is a big idea in Greece at the time. It was massive. You could see Mount Olympus from their city. The gods or idols of this place birthed the Olympics. It was big competition. It was a very competitive marketplace when it came to gods. For Greek gods honoured and celebrated money, the body, power and intellect. But this verse from the Bible says these Greek people turned from those gods of money, the body, power and the intellect. Why? Seriously, why did they do it? Because those things are still worshipped today. And you might want to argue, well, these people were primitive, they were from antiquity, but it doesn't cut it. Why? Because these primitive people gave us the Olympics. For the same reason you watch the Olympics. It's for the same reason you were out cheering for your kid yesterday at playing Saturday sport if it wasn't cancelled again for the rain. It's the same reason that you show someone a video of you scoring in the last second of the game. We love the body. Along with the rise of social media, the gym industry has gone viral so people can look at our bodies. Why did Greek people who worshipped money, the body, power, and the intellect, why did they turn from that? Because they found a better deal. They found a better treasure. They found something greater than the body, something more powerful than them, and something smarter than them, Jesus. Seriously, that is why, and I'm not swearing, Jesus Christ. Why they turned? That's why they changed their lives. That's why, because they found something better. AI suggests there are over 100 different names for Jesus in the Bible. And this can help us to explore the bigness of who he is. Here are some of the classics. Son of God, Lord, Saviour, Emmanuel, which means God with us. Lamb of God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Good Shepherd, Bread of Life, Light of the World, the Word. Alpha, the Omega, which means the beginning and the end. Prince of Peace, Redeemer, Bridegroom, and I love this, the Rock. Further, a Scottish dead guy from 1819 said in Glasgow, when you see the light in Jesus' face, when you hear his voice, when he says to you he loves you and he invites you into his shelter, it is then that the heart is brought under the mastery of one great predominant affection. It is delivered from the tyranny of its former desires in the only way that deliverance is possible, through the glory of the Son. Not the S-U-N, the S-O-N. Jesus Christ. Well, today I started by saying I would love a new phone. But you know, I'm just not sure. Just not sure. My heart, if I was to tell you today, lies with the Google Pixel. I've never really thought about going to the iPhone. But since the rise of the iPhone and then the Pixel, we actually haven't got happier. Research says we've got sadder. Last year, Penguin Books released a book called The Anxious Generation, how the great rewiring of childhood is causing an epidemic of mental illness. Since the creation of the smartphone, the growth of anxiety fueled by social media has led to a new epidemic. Not COVID-19, rather anxiety. Isn't this the prediction of David Foster Wallace? If you worship money and things, you will never have enough. If you worship your body and beauty and your sexual allure, you will always feel ugly. If you worship power, you will feel weak and afraid. If you worship your intellect, being seen as smart, you will feel stupid. By our phones connecting us to the global village of money, beauty, power and the intellect, it hasn't empowered us, we've become disempowered. Having the world in our hands has handed us debilitating despair. And so maybe, just maybe, I don't want the Pixel 10, even the 11, or the iPhone 17. Maybe the world promises but horrifically fails to deliver. Maybe, just maybe, we don't need the world at our fingertips. We need the Saviour Jesus, whose fingers flung stars into space, whose nails he endured through his hands on the cross. Maybe, just maybe, we need Jesus from out of this world to come into this world, his world. A Christian pastor spent a week in Rome about 10 years ago walking through the ancient ruins of the Roman Empire, one of Western humanity's longest dynasties. It's a treasure trove of wealth, art and beauty, power, intellect. But at the time, the only item for sale in this wonder of the world was the selfie stick. Surrounded by grandeur and splendor and magnificence in the Colosseum, and we opted for the selfie stick. Humanity was built for the stars, and the rise and modern triumph of the individual has turned ourselves on ourselves, and we haven't found ourselves, we've lost ourselves. Augustine was from the Roman Empire and he died in 430 AD. He was a gifted thinker and he was a womanizer. Yet he gave that life up and he turned when he met Jesus Christ in the Italian city of Milan. He famously said, "The heart is restless until it finds its rest in God." He discovered that God gives us the gift of sex, and it's a good gift, of course, but he didn't give it so that our joy might be complete in the act of sex itself. He gave it so that we might be overwhelmed by the goodness of God to give us such a great gift. Sexuality is not an end in itself. It's not a means to glory. It was given to us so that we might worship God. Similarly, God gave us food and wine not to guzzle them down and gorge ourselves, and not so that we wouldn't enjoy them, but rather we take a bite of good food or sip a good drink at the food vans today. Can I encourage you, go out there, buy up big, bless those people from our district and enjoy it. Worship, when seen this way, is much bigger than a church service to attend for an hour once a week. It is a way of life for those who are entranced by and passionate for the glory of God. When we worship God, we partake of his good gifts like food. And something occurs in the deepest part of our soul that forbids glory terminating on the gift itself or our enjoyment of it. It runs deeper and it extends to our giver, to God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you worship? Of course you do. Why? Because you love. The Oxford Dictionary, a strong feeling of love and respect for something and somebody. You worship if you feel today, if you feel anything. If you get excited that Arsenal won after 22 years, amen. Can I hear an amen back there, brother? Today, at this Food for Thought, I've attempted to show from the Bible your life was built for more than money, more than the body and sexual allure, more than power, more than the intellect, for we find those things perfected in Jesus Christ. An American man from Montana was once interviewed by a secular interviewer, and he said, "What does Jesus mean to you?" And his eyes filled with tears as he quietly declared, "Jesus, he is beautiful. He is my magnificent obsession." For me as a 17-year-old, I was liberated from my worship of sport. It happened when a chippy retrained to become a Baptist pastor. I went to a youth camp in Queensland on the Sunshine Coast where he was speaking about Jesus and the Bible. I remember him saying the biggest lie in Australia is the man who has the most toys wins. And what he meant by toys was the Hilux, the pool and the holiday house in Yamba. He said it is all a lie. And he said, this is what is true. The man with the most toys dies. And then he said, what good will my Nikes be when I'm dead? And at that, he took his shoe off and he threw it into the crowd. And for me at the time, I was desperate to get a new pair of Nikes. For me, my worship of sport, I was drooling at the thought of a new pair of Nikes or Adidas shoes. I was ready to run and grab the thing. And then it hit me like a ton of bricks and I thought, actually, what good would Nikes be? What good would Nikes be when you're dead? And then this chippy carpenter come public speaker led my eyes to the brilliant Saviour Christ on which he died. For in the cross of Christ, as in a magnificent theatre, the infinite goodness of God is displayed to the whole world. Other false gods need our worship. Other false gods need our service. They need our money. Jesus needs nothing. Absolutely nothing. He himself is so much brimming over, he is more than a cold beer spilling over on a hot day after you've mowed the lawn. Jesus' glory or his worth-ship is infinitely good. It's overflowing. It's endless. So Jesus is my magnificent obsession. Now, as you hear me say that, you might freak out that I'm a religious nutter, that the only thing that matters to me is religion and everything else can go to hell. But that is not the case. In fact, it is precisely the opposite. If the world were all heading to hell in a handbag, why should anything matter? But because the world has beauty and design and wonder, because it was created by a gifted artist, Jesus, everything does matter. Hence, I don't love my wife less because I love Jesus more. I love her more. I don't love music and books and sports less because I love Jesus more. I love them more. But isn't being a Christian or a disciple of Christ boring? Well, I can honestly testify for over 19 years of serving Jesus and after being bored to death in religious studies at my school at 16, I have never known a moment of boredom. Life has been enriching, frustrating, beautiful, ugly, joyful, and painstakingly painful, but it has never been boring with Christ. So today, if you've received some food for thought, now if something or anything has struck you today, you must consider joining us. In about a week's time, it's not this Tuesday, it's the following Tuesday, the first Tuesday in June for Hope Explored. On the back table there are these little business cards. On the reverse side, there is a QR code that you can just scan with your phone and that'll take you to a registration form. It'll be happening over 3 weeks, Tuesday the 7th and the 9th and the following Tuesday from 7 till 8:30 p.m. at our building here in East Lismore, which is quite close to the East Lismore Bowls Club. I'll be there. I'd love to see you there. And finally, thank you so much for your generosity today in exploring some food for thought. At Hope Explored, we'll be going through this. This is a biography of Jesus' life by a gentleman called Luke, and there are some copies of that are available up the back. Thank you for coming along to Food for Thought today. Please make the most of our food vans out there later when we will finish up soon-ish. Thank you for listening.